From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, October 16th, 2012. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, editor-in-chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
I ran into a product recently implemented at the University of Tennessee Libraries. StackMap is a tool to literally map the stacks of libraries. It offers patrons maps and directions to books of interest and makes the lives of those who manage those stacks easier. Is StackMap now just a few years old, a long-term winner, or is it another mapping solution that's here today and gone tomorrow? We'll take a look after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agoleval.
Now, the University of Tennessee newspaper describes StackMap as a program that displays a map highlighting the shelf on which a desired book is stored during a search in the library catalog. And the article goes on and explains that David Atkins, head of resource sharing and document delivery at the library, is responsible for the program. End quote. He discovered the product at an American Library Association conference over a year ago and has been working with fellow librarians and staff to introduce it to UT. StackMap has been available for more than a month, and early reports show that it is used in one out of every three searches in the library catalog to find a book. And there's more good news. Atkins says that students will soon be able to look up books and get a map using their smartphones, not only using title, author, or subject, but by call number as well. Atkins expects a usable prototype of the system sometime this week. So they're going full steam ahead at the University of Tennessee with StackMap. So just to give you a sense of how this works from sort of a product service sense, the company basically sends somebody to your library or libraries to make the base maps. And then the staff of the library, it seems, does the work of filling out the ranges of which books are in each set of shelves based on their call number. And they use Library of Congress, Dewey, SUDOC, and they'll support any other weird one that you might use. This is delivered as software as a service, and it plugs into your existing catalog. So that when you do a search, the catalog finds the book, there's a button that says map it, and you click that button and you get this map, which has a pin showing where the book is and some printed directions about how to get there. The way the company makes money is that the libraries pay a fee for the setup based on the number of libraries and the number of floors that need to be mapped, and then there's an annual fee to use the service based mostly on the size of the collection, and I'm not sure what the other factor might be. Maybe the number of transactions or something like that, but that's not disclosed in detail on the website. What you and I have done, Joe, is dug around, tried to learn as much as we could about StackMap, and tried to figure out whether we think in the long term it's going to be a winner or it's not going to make it. So let me start out with you, Joe. What did you like about it? What things about it do you think are pointing toward its success?
Number one, I think indoor mapping as something that people want, I think, will only become more important. And I think that this is a good illustration of a very niche problem being solved for indoor location. Some of the other solutions we've seen for indoor location, things like aisle 411 that helps you search for products at a Home Depot or a Lowe's store are now out there. There are mobile apps that they've put out there to help you find products. And this is a very similar one, except the product, of course, is a book. And I like that. I think it only shows some of the ingenuity of the folks that created StackMap, and I like the service. I think finding books in huge libraries, thinking back to my days in college, has always been a monumental problem. The illustrations they give, I think, were very it looked like a smaller library setup. Well, the universities I visited and the libraries I went to were huge, and you want to find a book, you're stuck. You were left to wander the stacks for many hours, sometimes getting lost. So I think it's a great service. And I like the fact that it's relatively simple to use, and the business model is simple, as you, I think, more than adequately explained. So I think there's several reasons there for success.
Right, and I love this idea that this is a real problem. Everybody has run into this, even in your local public library. Once you confirm that the book is there, having to walk, I know in my city library, I literally have to walk all the way around the upstairs where the stacks are to find what I'm looking for. And one thing I want to highlight is what makes this problem different than the problem of aisle 411. And the reason that it's different, in fact, it's actually easier in a library, is that there already is an indexing system in place that is not going to change. Well, it might, but if you're going with Library of Congress, you go with Library of Congress. If you're going with Dewey, you go with Dewey. So that it's very simple. In fact, it's exactly like geocoding when you get right down to it about where the book is along the shelves, more or less. So it's actually simpler than if aisle 411, if they decide to take the juice aisle and turn it into the cereal aisle, that could be very complicated in a grocery store mapping solution.
Yeah, it's a little different. The indexing system is, of course, the SKU number for products. It's whether they actually change the location of the shelf where it becomes an issue, and then you have to remap the SKU number to the location. So it's somewhat different. The books aren't going to move, or at least, well, the books could move. I mean, the stacks could change just like a product could change.
But they stay in order.
They stay in order, and libraries are less apt to move big stacks than anything.
The other thing that I think it's important to highlight is that at least for now, the StackMap folks have not taken on the real-time guidance issue. So you don't follow the little dot with your cell phone as you're walking through the library. You're given a map and you're given written directions. So this whole idea about locating the phone isn't even in there yet. Maybe that's something they're working on. And I think that's really smart. The other thing that I think is really smart is that the app is built to be mobile ready so that you can pull it up on your smartphone and use it. You don't have to download an app, none of that kind of stuff. So I think is really smart.
Yeah, that was certainly important, I thought, from my point of view of usability.
Okay, any other positive things we want to say about StackMap before we look at the things that maybe aren't so hot?
No, I think we covered it. I think those are the salient points.
Okay, well, let's go on to the other side. And I'll start out by saying I was really disappointed that I didn't get to go and play with the search catalog of a library that has implemented this. There wasn't one on the website, and while some of the articles I found did make reference to libraries that are using StackMap, when I went to their catalogs, I couldn't figure out where the Map It button was.
Oh, so did you find a library in your area that was using it?
No. Yeah. I found an article that listed five or six libraries, mostly at universities, and I could get to their catalogs and I could do a search. I searched on GIS books and found GIS books, but I couldn't get to the mapping, either because it's not implemented or it's not available to me as an outsider, I don't know. But I think that it would do a world of good for StackMap to have on its website, here's our implementation at, how about their own, the group came out of Stanford. Why not use Stanford as an example and let us play around with either all of it or some of it or somehow let us use it?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I thought that was a downside was, while it's simple to use for the user, I thought it looked a little complicated for the administrator to set up. I mean, you got to have that building information model essentially set up.
No, they come and do that for you.
Well, that's right. They come and do it for you. But still, it takes a person to go in there and do it. It's not like these floor plans are already done. So it's a bit of a challenge for a huge library, though. I mean,
absolutely. But again, there's no information about how that person or team does it. And I would imagine they start with the floor plans.
Yeah, although I tell you, what I could see is sending a robot to map the floor of a library. You're thinking of the huge libraries, Ohio State, Princeton, places with huge holdings. That's a big job to map the floors of those
exactly. And
buildings.
Well, and here's another opportunity. Tell us about how that happens.
Yeah.
And maybe they are using robots. Well, tell us about that. How cool is that?
Yeah, that would be real cool. Yeah. The one other failure is I thought that the app itself had limited functionality. I was left with the feeling of, is that all it does? I think for an app like this to succeed, it needs to do more in terms of some of the indoor mapping. Does it do POIs inside the library? Does it do other types of things other than books? Does it do audio and video and all the other things that they've got? Anything that's indexed, I would like to see in the app as well. So I don't know if they're heading in that direction, but that was the one other limitation I found.
I have to, based on my understanding of it, anything that's in the catalog
should be there.
So videotapes and CDs and so forth. And there was a comment on the website about computer availability, which I understood to mean if there are computers available for students to use and where are they? Across the big building. It sounds like some of that is in there, but this whole idea of POIs in a library I think is really interesting. What were you thinking of?
It could be anything from the info desk to bathrooms to anything. Any large facility has, you have a need to find your way around. So I don't know if this app should be limited to only books.
That's a good point. Yeah, and maybe that's covered. And again, that's maybe something that more information needs to be available on the website or elsewhere.
Yeah, it could be fire extinguishers, could be defibrillators, you know, anything that you, you know what I mean?
We're giggling, but that's not really, those are actually important things.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
I have to say, I thought the functionality was quite focused. I guess I wouldn't have called it limited because the point of this is to get you to the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it did that pretty well. Now, having said that, I did find another solution from another company, which I think is called Bowker, and what they show you is where the book is on the shelf, and it shows you the books next to it.
Okay.
Which is really cool, but it didn't seem to show you how to get to the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like it's sort of for a different purpose, maybe, but that seemed kind of cool, although it also sort of saddened me because one of the funnest things about libraries, and I've worked in libraries, and my mother was a librarian, is going to find the book and then being distracted by all the books around it. I mean, that's sort of
yeah, thing. Right.
But
right.
I thought that was kind of neat, and I'd like to see both of these things, those two functionalities together.
Right, right. Yeah, I worked in a library for a limited period of time too, although it was not a very interesting job. It was sticking in the metal strips. This was a long time ago, into the binding, so that the books wouldn't be stolen. So, anyway, I digress. The other thing that I want to point out was repeatability. If you use it once, are you apt to use it a second time? And this just kind of, you know, it's stuck in my mind like, this is cool. Would I use it again?
Wow, I that didn't occur to me, but I have to believe that it's something, especially if you were successful in using it, that you would use again. Because, well, and it really sort of relates to how people are using these giant libraries these days.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Do they use them all the time regularly? I'm sure if you're working on a dissertation, maybe you are. But if you're a regular old undergraduate, how often are you looking for a book or books? And are you going to get a mental map of the library such that you don't need to use a system like this?
Okay, well, and I think you bring up the fair point. If I've used it once, do I have that mental map already? In particular, if I know the area of the library that I typically access. And that brings me to my kind of my last point, which is, how often are libraries being used, and are print books on the way out, just like the rest of print is on their way out, newspapers, books, magazines? Are we getting so many things digitally now in our tablets that the reason to visit a library is more limited these days?
Well, I think that works both ways. Certainly now in many libraries, they're figuring out ways to lend out the e-books.
Mm-hmm.
And I know through my system, you can actually download audiobooks directly. You don't have to go to the library. You can do it from your own computer if you have a library card. But on the other hand, it means we will have fewer and fewer books at home. And if we want the book experience, especially for heavy-duty research books, those are not digital.
Right.
Especially the old ones.
Right.
So you're going to have to go to the library. And you may go even less, which makes a system like this even more important. The other point that I wanted to make is it seems like, at least at the beginning of StackMap's career, this is all about big university research libraries, where this problem is the biggest.
Right.
And there's a whole lot of library staff, and if you can offload some of their time by having a system like this and having people find their own materials, all the better. Will something like this trickle down to the bigger public libraries, where you have more of that same kind of problem than you do in my little city library? And those are the kinds of places where I think people, again, you have that range of people. Some people go there all the time and know it like the back of their hand. Other people go there specifically because they have that book or that map or whatever, and they're going to have no idea how to get around.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, and I think it opens up everybody's mind to the possibilities of indoor mapping. Here's a very niche application that is suited for a very specific application, and I applaud their work.
Okay, so now we're going to come right down to it, and we're going to either vote thumbs up or thumbs down about the long-term success of StackMap. So, Joe, what do you think?
I'll give it a thumbs up. And maybe from a sentimental reason, I'd like to see them succeed. I think it has some great usability.
I'm going to give them a thumbs up as well. I think they're in early enough. This company was founded in 2008. And I suspect that what they're offering actually looks a whole lot better than some of the demos that we saw in the videos. And I think it would look a lot more, I'd like to see that updated. The big challenge I see to them right now, and this was mentioned in another article I found, that Google indoor mapping, I mean, wouldn't Google want to especially map the public libraries? And if Google makes a big push to do that, they could jump ahead. So I guess we're all rooting for the folks from Stanford and StackMap. That's all the time we have for today.
Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that you are invited to attend an Esri Dev Meetup where you can connect with other developers to discuss using geospatial technology on various development languages. This free event is being held in select locations across the U.S. through December 2012 and includes a key presentation, lightning talks, and a networking social. To register for a Dev Meetup close to you, visit esri.com/devmeetup.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com, or you can send us a tweet @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.